It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, this? Thank you. I just bought it. It's a hat.
Come on in. Sorry, my place is a mess. I just bought a hat.
Oh, yeah. I'm in my hat era.
What'd you say? Sorry, I'm wearing a hat.
Oh, do I have room? I'm not used to wearing this hat.
Oops. Oops.
Oh.
I manifested this.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Friday, June 2nd, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Tass, of course, still in Denver, pumping out the social content with our guy, Jerome. Go check out all of their work on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. They have a fun short up from last night after the game, talking to Nuggets fans as they poured out of the Ball Arena. So go check that one out. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Getting a look at these bright shirts we've got on today. I said we look like two highlighters. Me in my bright, bright green and you in your bright, bright orange.
Yeah, I guess some schools are probably still figuring out their finals. We're talking about the NBA finals, but I'm talking about academic finals. Mm-hmm. You got to take notes.
That's right. That's right.
Got to highlight the important things. Color?
Yellow.
Classic yellow.
Yeah, classic. Really pops.
Impossible to beat.
Yeah, that's right. Go get your No Dunks merch. We got some bright merchandise for you guys at nodunks.com. Go check that out. On today's Drop podcast, we're going to take a look at the best NBA free agents this summer. At least if we include all the guys that could opt out of their player options.
Okay, there we go.
It's not a great list. Okay, a spoiler on that one. We're going to discuss Adam Silver's comments about Ja Morant before game one of the finals last night. That was interesting. And we've got some rapid fire fun. But first, my man Trey Kirby called it, Jamal Murray sticking a wedgie last night in game one of the NBA finals. Number 58 for the season. We have tied the all-time record.
Nice.
58. Look at JD doing some work here. Last I checked, Wedgie Tracker had it updated.
Nah.
Did you do that?
Well, I just added the 58.
Look at you, JD. Wedgie Tracker asleep. I mean, we haven't had a wedgie in so long.
Exactly.
Probably
yeah.
Forgot.
Yeah, they're on vacation, I guess, or something like that. But anyway, we're at 58, tied the all-time record. Our next one sets it. I had a question, though, because Breen said wedgie during the NBA Finals game. That's great. And then a little bit later, Jeff Van Gundy said, quote, "If you shot the wedgie, you should have to take the jump ball." Do you have thoughts on that?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it because it would codify the term wedgie in the NBA rulebook. They might use a different phraseology.
Right.
A ball becomes stuck between the rim and the backboard. You know, they might spell out what's actually happening. But I do like the idea that if you're the shooter, you got to do the jump ball.
Okay.
And then the opposing team, I guess, just picks whoever they want.
That seems fair.
Or does it have to be who's closest to the rim at the time?
I think the defense should be, in a weird way, rewarded for the stop.
It is a stop.
So you get to put your center, your big guy, or whoever's got the highest hops in the jump ball circle. Okay, but if you shoot the wedgie, you should have to go get it and take it.
The wedgie rule. How cool would that be? Like, if they announced that during the summer, the NBA competition committee, we would do a whole show. Emergency podcast, wedgie rule instituted.
They bring us in, like, as experts to, like, talk to the committee about our thoughts on it. Yeah, possibly. Anyway, 58 wedgies. One more sets the all-time record. And I guess we just got to keep running with your predictions. You said Jamal Murray might be one of the guys that did it. He was. You also said Max Strus, who had a lot of breaks last night.
It was cold.
It was cold. But maybe we get one from Strus in the coming finals games. Let's get into the actual game itself. Jokic and Murray go off. So much for rust, all right? Jokic, triple-double in his finals debut. Jamal Murray, 26 points. Nuggets just little trouble with the cold shooting Miami Heat. They get the 104-93 win in game one. What's your biggest takeaway from this one?
Nuggets are good.
Yeah, they are.
And Nikola Jokic is basically unstoppable. I thought he dominated this game from tip to end, and he took 12 shots. He also took 12 free throws, so definitely more shooting possessions.
Yep.
But in general, 12 shots, scoring the ball well, setting up his teammates. The passing was incredible. The only time the Nuggets were getting good shots was anytime they wanted to. And it was basically because of Jokic. If there was ever a few stagnant possessions in a row, oh, don't forget, the guy is a 65% shooter from the field. Just dump it into him for a fadeaway or an easy post move. But for the most part, it was him finding Aaron Gordon a lot of times, finding Jamal Murray in the two-man game, finding Michael Porter Jr., just taking what the defense gave him. And the defense gave him a lot. So a great game for Jokic in this one. To the fact that I saw that Jamal Murray had 10 assists, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? That was a quiet 10 assists from him. Consistent scoring, no doubt, from Murray. But when those two are playing like they played last night, and you're getting great contributions from a lot of rolled guys like Gordon and Porter, the Nuggets, they look tough to beat. I mean, Game 1 Nuggets are the best team in the NBA. They might be the best team in the NBA, period, but the Game 1 Nuggets, you can't beat them. It's impossible.
No, you're right. Go through it. Game 1 against Minnesota first round, they opened up an 11-point lead at the half. They win that game by 29. Yeah. Game 1 versus Phoenix in the second round, the Nuggets open up a 17-point lead at the half. They cruise control. They win by 18. Game 1 against the Lakers in the West Finals, Nuggets open up an 18-point lead at the half. The Lakers rally in that one. It gets a little close.
Yeah.
Even the Lakers had a chance to take the lead late in that game, but Denver wins by 6. And then another game 1 here. We were debating, oh, they've been off for a long time. Are they going to be rusty, or will the rest be an advantage to them, especially with the Heat going 7, flying to Denver, playing in the altitude? I mean, that's what it was. Once again, they looked dominant. The Heat found some things maybe in the second half. I know we'll get into it, where it's something you could take from this game, as they sort of had a good second half, at least kept the Nuggets to, I believe, 45 points and, you know, won a quarter there and got some stops, hit some shots too, especially in the fourth, hit some threes, but it was all a little too late. But yeah, what a dominant performance. We were watching on playback. Shout out to everybody that joined us. And it felt like they just had control of that game for the entirety of the game.
Definitely true. There was a nice run by the Heat in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Like you're mentioning, they started getting shots to fall. They went 9 of 22 in the second half from 3, which was definitely big time. The defense looked better, I thought, but how much are you really putting stock into what was going down in the fourth quarter? I don't know. It's just hard to really figure out, because it seemed like there were times when the Heat zone was working a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the Nuggets were still getting good shots. They just finally started missing, whereas the Heat started making. If you look at the final score for the Nuggets, 104 points, the Heat will take that every game this series, right, if they're limiting the Nuggets to 104 points. But the Nuggets can also play a whole bunch better coming further on in this series here. Like Michael Porter Jr. had a lot of good looks, and he went 2 for 11 mm-hmm. from 3. That guy is a knockdown 3-point shooter. But the rest versus rust thing is not a thing to me. I think you always want to be rested. And if you're worrying about rust, just dunk it and shoot layups for the entire first quarter. That was huge, I think. Getting Aaron Gordon, I think he had 6 layups and dunks in the first quarter.
Yep, 12 points.
Those are easy makes. Shooting it over Gabe Vincent, using your strength to get to the rim. Mm-hmm. That way you're not relying on the three-pointers. Then once you're used to playing in the flow of things, the shots are going to drop. I mean, the Nuggets didn't shoot the ball well last night, but they didn't need to because they were unstoppable inside.
Yeah, that AG bullying Gabe Vincent early in this game. And that Big just time. Like also illustrates Jokic, his passing and him seeing the angles and his size. He can get it inside to him there. But great job from Aaron Gordon and Malone and the Nuggets to exploit that, like you said, early. Because he had his stretch. You had Michael Porter Jr. He had a small stretch, too. I mean, the defense was there. He had a couple more of those sort of coming from behind slash side blocks on Jimmy a few times. He finished with 14 points. Bruce Brown, every game in the playoffs, it feels like he comes in. He has like a 2 or 3 minute stretch where he hits a couple shots and extends a lead. He had 10 points in 21 minutes. So, yeah, along with Jokic and Murray, who were the two best players on the floor last night, and then all of these guys contributing, that's how you get to this, you know, basically double-digit victory. I know it got, what was it in the end? 11 points, so it was. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried, because my biggest takeaway was the Heat took what they could get, and the Nuggets just got whatever the hell they wanted.
Yes.
And that's That could make for a sweep. I know we sometimes overreact to game ones, but I know the question yesterday was, what's more likely, a Nuggets sweep or a Heat in seven? And it's definitely more a Nuggets sweep after seeing what went down last night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they won the first one, and the Heat didn't look good, but you have to anticipate more from Jimmy Butler in game two. No free throw attempts for the starters. I think that kind of filters down from Jimmy, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. If he's not living in the lane like we're used to, that mentality just... If we're giving him credit for his will and his mentality when it goes well, when it doesn't go well, I think the same has to be said.
Yep.
Post-game, Jimmy, Bam, basically everybody on the Heat was like, we took too many jump shots. And they did. Mm-hmm. Like, Bam took 25 attempts. The most shots he's ever taken in his career, which I like to see. I'm glad he's shooting. He was very aggressive, but you don't want him as the number one option.
No.
Because basically, the Nuggets are just playing Jokic in a drop, and they're saying, yeah, man, shoot a 14-footer. You're going to make quite a few of them, but it's not putting pressure on the rim. It's not putting pressure on Jokic to foul him. And if Jimmy's not driving, they're not getting the free throws, and they're not getting as good of looks from three-point if they're not getting a couple of feet in the lane. So Jimmy, no doubt, like that's a play-better adjustment in game two. He just has to be a lot more intense and a lot more ball in his hand, getting to the hoop.
Miami 2-for-2 from the foul line. That's it in game one of the finals. Great percentage. Didn't miss. They tied the fewest free throws ever made in a playoff game. They broke the record for fewest attempts from the line in a playoff game. And they set NBA finals records for fewest free throws made and attempted. He talked about it for sure after the game. Jimmy, I got to be more aggressive. We as a team got to be more aggressive. Caleb Martin 1-for-7. Max Strus 0-for-10. 0-for-9 on threes. Those guys will bounce back in this series. Like, Max Strus, if you go look at his three-point attempts that he got, a lot of them were wide open.
They got good looks.
He was just clanking them. Yeah. But Jimmy, that was my concern. It was like, where were you? He started this game all right. He grabbed an offensive rebound, hit a baseline jumper really early into the game. Then he hit a three in rhythm, off the dribble, sizing up Aaron Gordon on the wing. That's a quick five. A little bit later in the quarter, drove by Michael Porter Jr., finished inside and within some traffic, 7 points right there. And then I honestly feel like we didn't talk about Jimmy Butler for the rest of the game.
That's definitely true.
It's like, where did he go? Did he go mountain biking? Did he go check out Red Rocks? Like, he was gone. Like, it was wild. What else can you do in Denver? This is the two things that came to mind.
A dispensary?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, everybody does that. But he was just MIA for MIA.
Nice one. Fly like paper, high like planes.
That's not gonna cut it. Because my point is, Martin and Strus, like, again, they're gonna hit better percentages. They're gonna hit more threes. But Jimmy just has to take control of the game.
Absolutely right.
Like, set the tone, and he knows that. I spit all over my computer there.
Yeah, because you were spitting barn.
I guess so.
MIA line.
I guess so.
Man, Celtics fans, they got to be sick, though. Seeing Strus, the Strus goose 0-for-10, and Caleb Martin putting up a 1-for-7 after these guys were, like, on fire for seven straight games. But you have to imagine, they'll play a little bit better going forward, at least once they get to Miami. But it kind of comes down to... Two stars played great for Denver. One star played well for Miami. Jimmy didn't do anything. And then the role guys definitely showed up for Denver as well, as they have at home, basically for the entirety of the playoffs. It's just a game two, got to be a little bit closer, got to be a little bit grimier if you're the Heat, I think.
Will there be any adjustments right away from Spoelstra in game two? Will we see Kevin Love to try and have some size?
There's a lot of Kevin Love talk here.
I know there is. Or maybe it's just go to Highsmith even, who is, at least a stronger, bigger dude than some of the wing guys they have. Like, do they need to, like, immediately overreact to be like, holy crap, we sort of got our asses handed to us in terms of, like, just being small, and we need to combat that a little bit? Or, no, let's relax a little bit. We got some shots. We got to hit. If we hit those threes, it's a different start to this game, and it's a different game maybe entirely. What do you think?
Okay, so a few thoughts. Number one, Haywood Highsmith definitely has to play. Like, the guy's earning his minutes. He was awesome in the fourth quarter, finished with 18. Size and athleticism, mm-hmm. I think, is kind of needed against this Nuggets team. I don't necessarily know that it means he should start. I would also go Kevin Love instead of Cody Zeller.
I know. That's
it ain't going well. I mean, it's not going to go well with Love. But at least he can stretch out on the other end and maybe hit some threes, which will be big for Miami. However, I kind of think the key is defensively. I think they should stay small. I think they should stay with their same starting lineup and make Jokic into a scorer, because that's kind of what happened, I thought, in the fourth quarter. They were disrupting his passing game. Mm-hmm. He wasn't orchestrating quite as much, and just they were giving him shots that maybe after playing three quarters of distribution basketball, he wasn't necessarily wanting to play it that way. So I think you can't have Murray go off and Porter go off and Gordon go off and have Jokic doing everything out there. So right. In that fourth quarter, they kind of hit on something where I think it's just make Jokic into a scorer, take away the three-pointers for the other guys, and honestly bomb away from three.
Yep.
If you're the Heat. You got to flip the math a little bit, twos to threes. I think Denver will probably shoot better in game two. They did not shoot the ball very well, but that's Miami's best shot, I think.
Yeah, the Miami opened the fourth quarter on that 11-0 run, so they cut a big deficit down to a very manageable, I guess they got it to 9 after Highsmith hit a three. I mean, it was getting pretty late when he hit that. I think there was like 2.5 minutes to go. But at least they had a good quarter. They hit threes. And like you said, you got to make Jokic the scorer. You got to do what basically Denver did to Bam.
Yeah, kind of.
They need Jokic to be shooting 25 to 30 times and take away the Jamal Murray. Now, this is so easy to say. Like, the pick and roll game between these two guys, it's like, what are you going to do? And then even, like, Jamal Murray will hit like shots at the end of the shot clock where you've played pretty good defense for 23 seconds. And then it's like, oh my God.
He's
like,
a tough shot maker.
Come on. But yeah, that has to be the game plan. I'm with you on Love over Zeller. I like some of the things that he did. They took away, for the most part, transition opportunities for the Denver Nuggets. That's good. They did all right on the glass, at least in terms of like they weren't dominating inside the Nuggets on the glass there. So that's good. And yeah, they found their three-point shot as the game went on. And you're going to hope that starts in the first quarter for them in game two. But yeah, those are definitely the adjustments. I'm with you on that. The Highsmith needing to get an opportunity because he's scoring.
He's been good. Yeah,
he's been
aggressive.
Very, very good. Yeah. What else you got from this game? What else am I missing?
We had a great playback stream. Like, we got done with that playback stream. I was like, is that our greatest playback ever? We had Taz had maybe the best halftime performance I've seen since Red Panda came back.
It was epic.
He was just like, it felt like he was teasing a Nuggets fan wearing a big hat for the entirety of halftime.
Yep.
And it led to Taz putting on the big hat, like, as the third quarter was coming back. We're going crazy. That was great. We had Taz, like, pop on with about a minute, just with a big grin on his face, knowing that the Jamal Murray wedgie had already happened.
That's
and he
right.
was just waiting it out. And then at the end, we played an incredible game of trivia that came down to a Derek White-esque 0.1-second game winner. Shout out to Andrei Kirilenko. What a playback.
It was great.
That was too good.
You got to join us on Sunday night for game two, 8 p.m. Eastern start. There it is. Good stuff, JD. He's all over it. Just a few more thoughts on the superstars for Denver. After recording his 9th triple-double of these playoffs, Jokic is averaging 29.8 points, 13.1 rebounds, and 10.5 assists during the Nuggets' now 16-game playoff run. Only one other player in NBA history has averaged a playoff triple-double with more than 5 games played. Shout out to Schumann for this. Jason Kidd. He averaged 14.6 points per game, 10.9 boards, 10.9 assists in 12 games for New Jersey back in 07. So Jokic is more than doubling that scoring average. And the Nuggets on the season are 35-3, 8-1 in the playoffs when Jokic gets this triple-double. And I say all of this because I feel like it's getting overlooked. It is. I know
bit.
He's a 2-time MVP. I know, you know, here being in the finals now are a lot of the headlines and the storylines and stuff like that. But, like, these are insane numbers. 30, 13, and 11, if we're rounding up, during the playoffs. Not meaningless regular
crazy.
Season games against crappy teams, against the best teams in the playoffs, and he's putting up these numbers. It's insane.
The guy's pretty good. And he stuck around long enough to get the rebound pretty late. I am disappointed he didn't score enough points to stay over the 30-point-per-game mark officially.
Right. Until he'll
be back. Even needed, like, another 4 points or something like that. I don't know, math-wise, but yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, he's a good player. And he got to play against Nikola Jokic last night.
And you called that as well.
I couldn't believe it.
Jokic versus Jokic, game one. We just got it over with right away. Both out there.
Yep. He pulled the plug a little early.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I wonder if there was a conversation before the series started between Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone. Like, if he ever checks in, keep me out there for a possession. Apparently he took him to dinner sometime in Denver after Miami showed up. So there's some sort of a relationship there. It wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to share the court.
Very, very possible. Also, fun stat to fold Murray into this. Jokic and Murray, just the third and fourth players in NBA history to record a 25-point 10-assist game in their finals debut. Can you name the other two? Debut. Game one of the finals.
25 and 10.
Person. Yep.
25 points, 10 assists. Magic?
No, no. But just say the other.
James Worthy.
Well, I was going to say the other MJ.
Oh, Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
10 assists.
91. I know.
Nice. Good
and
game. Good game.
Russell Westbrook, 2012.
Cool.
His first
game. I probably wouldn't have guessed that, actually.
Now Jokic and Murray do it in the same game.
Stats,
in
man.
Their first finals debut. What other random notes?
I think there is an opportunity for some celebrity out there to become the Nuggets celebrity fan.
Yes, okay.
Because
go
when
on.
They were doing the like guess who's in attendance at game one of the finals, it was basically all Denver area athletes.
Yeah.
We saw Peyton Manning, we saw Russell Wilson, Sean Payton was there,
yeah. Coach
I think
of the
he
Broncos.
Coaches the Broncos
yep.
now.
Yep.
Interesting. From the Saints to the Broncos. Wow. What a pickup. But the biggest celeb was Ken Jeong from the Hangover franchise,
yep.
from Community. I heard on the Hoop Collective podcast that he apparently bought his tickets on Ticketmaster. Like he just wanted to go to the game. He's like, I'll sit courtside. And they were available. So to me, it's like, step up, Denver area celebrities.
I think Ken Jeong saw that opening. He's like,
there are no
Denver Nuggets celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, outside of the sporting world. So I'll spend, what did those cost? You said it was $750 just to get into the arena last night.
Yeah.
Your buddy went
and
sat in the back row.
Yep.
So courtside, $10K?
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. I mean
it's high.
Five at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, he saw an
Maybe he'll
like,
be the guy. Maybe he'll be Mr. Nuggets. Like he's there for every every win. I don't know.
What ties does he possibly have to the Nuggets in Denver? That's the part I can't figure
just
out. He grew up in North Carolina.
He just appreciates beautiful basketball.
I guess so. And then
I think he went to Duke, right?
And yeah.
I think he went to UNC for medical school. We know a lot about Ken Jeong's background
he's got,
now
he's got
from our pre-show
daughters.
Googling.
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be the guy. My recommendation would have been that Don Cheadle should be the Denver Nuggets super fan. He graduated from a high school in Denver. I've seen him at a Broncos game.
Okay.
And I just think Denver Don has a pretty cool ring to it.
Well, we
already find Don Cheadle, send him to game two, please.
Don beside Dan Issel was in attendance,
Don
obviously.
Dan Issel was there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Don Cheadle's...
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing here, right? I guess we're getting at there's not a lot of, at least that we know of, popular Denver area celebrities.
Yeah, it's
like
hard to
born in the
out.
Area or live in Colorado. Well, no, he lives in Utah. I was going to say, he doesn't
Post Malone. Yeah. I thought so,
other,
too.
That's the other mountains.
Yeah, I mean, his dad's the coach of the Nuggets. So maybe a conflict of interest. Or maybe it should be okay.
Interesting. Let us know in the stream team who should be the Nuggets super celebrity. Or are we just going with Ken Jeong?
Yeah, maybe it's fine. The Kennaissance. He's back. We did get a lot of Ken Jeong in the 2010s. Not as much in the 2020s.
Well, hold on. I mean, he is on, is it The Masked Singer, which is
a
huge
show. That's a
good
point.
Let it be Ken. Why not?
Let it be Ken.
It's Ken. It's Ken.
Hey, I'm Team Ken, baby. For all you Succession fans.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Good.
Not a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler.
Why
last random note, Michael Porter Jr. had one assist last night, and it was sick.
I woke up thinking about it, and then I saw you tweet it.
I know, man. I was so excited. I was hoping there would be a replay from like under the basket because he catches the ball in the left corner. He pump fakes. He looks a little hesitant to drive to the hoop. He goes to shoot. Somebody comes over and challenges. So he just throws like a straight down bounce pass. But Jokic is right there, bounces straight up into his hand. Easy layup. Smart pass by Michael Porter Jr., but very funny delivery. Just smashing it off the
ground. I can't remember ever seeing a type of bounce pass where you literally are in the air and just drop it at your own feet for another guy to grab and put in.
Yeah,
but it was a smart
cool.
It was a great play. He played well there again. Like the defense you keep talking about, I mean, he has mastered that little... He's tall. He's figured out I am very, very big out here, and I can use my length to challenge shots and stuff like that, either from behind or the side, like we said. He had a big dunk. Was that the one on the putback?
Yeah.
That was him. That was a
13 rebounds.
Dunk.
Yeah. Big dunk.
He had a good game. I mean, everybody played really, really well for the Denver Nuggets. Those are our notes from game one. I don't have anything else. Again, so. I was happy to see, you know, Lowry hitting some threes, them getting some stops there in the fourth to at least make it a little close for us watching it live.
Yeah.
Because it got, like, you know, within 10, like we said, like, okay, this could be a game. But even though they lose, there might be something to take away from this. And, you know, also they sort of got their asses handed to them at the same time. So it's like, we got to play like 100 times better.
Tough.
And they just have no room, margin of error. They have to play a damn near perfect game, I think, to beat this Nuggets team. The way they can just score at will. Because, yeah, I like that they went to the zone when Jokic wasn't out there. But then we even saw Jeff Green beat the zone. They threw his old ass in the middle, and he had, like, hookshot him in the middle.
A hookshot, like, and a baseline cut.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's how you do it. So they were ready. They were no doubt ready for the zone. They were like, well, the Heat are up 3-0 in their series. We're probably seeing them because no team's ever come back. Yeah, yeah. So let's practice beating the zone, you know, for 10 days or 9 days or whatever it was. And they were ready. We'll see how much they go to it in Game 2 of the Heat. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look at the free agent class for the summer of 2023. We got Tweet of the Night. We'll talk about Ja Morant and Rapid Fire. Don't go anywhere. All right, so the stream team joining us live on YouTube, which we love to see. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Pointing out the South Park guys.
Great one.
As potential Denver Nuggets celebrities. I think they're hoops heads, too.
I think they've been at a game in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe Western Conference Finals. A lot of people also suggesting Dog the Bounty Hunter. A Denver guy.
Really?
Now, look, I would love to see him on the sideline in the background of, like, some classic moments. Like, Jokic's finals MVP winning moment, and in the back you see Dog the Bounty Hunter. It would be very funny. And also a lot of suggestions for Tim the Tool Man. Alan is his actual name. Tim the Toolman Taylor is the character, of course.
Yeah.
But he's a Michigan guy to me.
Oh, okay.
I know
he
was born in Denver, apparently.
Wow.
But he's a Pistons fan, as far as I know.
So we're saying Ken Jeong really doesn't have that much competition.
That's exactly right.
Dog the Bounty Hunter and Tim Allen? All right.
Yeah.
Well, keep your suggestions coming. I think we should just, like, try and make it TASS.
Yeah, why not?
He's there.
He looked good with that
put
big
him on
hat
the big
on his head.
Hat. Yeah, put a big hat on him and sit him courtside. He can be the Nuggets' number one fan. All right. Finals obviously going on here, and we are not saying it's a wrap. Hopefully the Heat come back in game two. But I started looking towards the summer here at some point over the last couple days, thinking about the free agents and who could be in the running to get a big contract or possibly move. So I've got a list for you. And I will say, before we start this list of the 2023 NBA free agent class, it is not a particularly strong one.
Yeah, there's some names I've heard here.
We don't really have a single definitive headliner free agent. There are some, like, borderline all-NBA guys who have a bunch of question marks surrounding them. We'll get to them in a second. And then there's some, like, borderline all-star guys, and it's okay, but it's not like, oh, that's the big name or the second name there. But it's still a fascinating list, and I wanted to pitch it at you and see what you think. Our own guy at The Athletic, Danny LaRue, he was wondering even if any of these players get the full 35% maximum contract for 5 or 4 seasons.
Hmm.
He says it's, like, possible that doesn't even happen, but we'll see. Honorable mentions here. There's a lot because I just did top 10 free agents. But honorable mentions, Josh Hart has a player option. Good player. Austin Reeves, we've talked about, restricted. I mean, that guy's going to go from making nothing to a lot. Cam Johnson, also restricted. I would assume that he'll be sticking with the Brooklyn Nets as one of their pieces after the big deal. Jakob Poeltl, unrestricted. I can't see the Raptors after what they traded for him. Not obviously signing him to a deal. Got Harrison Barnes with the Kings as a vet. D'Angelo Russell, you know, ups and downs that we saw in the playoffs. He's
All-star.
Unrestricted. Christian Wood is unrestricted. Talk about a guy who had a weird season.
Yeah.
Like, good numbers, then suddenly wasn't playing. It's like, what are you doing, Jason Kidd? But is he good? Or are they just number? Yeah, he's a strange player. Jordan Clarkson has a $14.2 million player option. Russell Westbrook is unrestricted.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what type of deal he's going to
see. Sounds like you got a headliner, Skeets. That guy's an MVP.
Yeah, I kept
Hall of Famer,
Westbrook
top 75.
And then Gary Trent Jr., I also included an honorable mention, $18.8 million player option. As you'll see, a lot of these guys on this list have player options. And I would assume a lot of them will opt out and decline and test free agency because there's not a lot of big names. But let's hit them here. In order, the top 10 NBA free agents this summer. You'll like this one, TK. Nikola Vucevic, number 10.
Hello.
Unrestricted. Chicago Bulls going to be interested in bringing Big Vucci baby back?
I think they're going to be interested.
You think so?
Okay. I think he made $25 million this season. Perhaps he signs an extension for longer years, a little bit less money in the $18 million range. I don't know. But Vooch, you can do better as a starting center, and you can do a lot worse as a starting center. And, you know, for all the concerns the Bulls have had and all the problems they've had the past couple of seasons, for some reason they keep finishing in the top 10 in defense, despite the fact that Nikola Vucevic is the center. So, I don't know. If he is paid a little bit less, you probably aren't as concerned with him, with his production.
Yep.
I will say.
Number 9, Jeremy Grant with the Blazers, also unrestricted. And this is sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
With him and it, whether he has a role in Portland or he looks like one of those pieces. Like, can you talk yourself into Jeremy Grant after we've seen Wiggins with the Warriors over the last couple of years, what we're seeing with Aaron Gordon?
Sure.
With the Nuggets now? Can, like, Jeremy Grant be that third or fourth guy on a really good team? I sort of think so.
Absolutely. He was with the Nuggets. It feels like 100 years ago at this point. But that might be a little bit of an indicator of what the Trailblazers are planning to do. Mm-hmm. Just because, I guess the free agency comes after the draft. Never mind what I was saying. But I think they're going to keep him around just because he is a really good player. It doesn't feel like the Trailblazers are going to be going the rebuilding route. So you can't really let a talented player like that walk away when you're trying to win with Damian Lillard.
Jeremy Grant, in 63 games this year, he averaged 21 points per game, 4.5 boards, 2.5 assists, shot 48% from the floor, 40% from three.
He was knocked down this year. Yep.
And it's like, we never, ever, ever talked about Jeremy Grant. Now, I know a big part of that was the Blazers' disappointing season, but
he
gets overlooked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's obviously on this list. I probably could have had him a little higher, but at number 8, Kyle Kuzma, who will be testing free agency. He has a $13 million player option. I would be shocked if he is not exploring a bigger payday in years. And what team that's with, you know, is it the case of sticking in Washington? We got new leadership there in a new with Winger coming over. Now they just got Schlenk. Is Kuzma going to be paired up with another name we'll get to later on this list who also has a player option in Porzingis? But what do you think about Kuz?
Yeah, at the trade deadline when they didn't trade Kuzma, Tommy Shepard was still the guy. It definitely felt like Kuzma was going to be coming back and kind of an important player for the Wizards, a desired player around the league. Like, everybody wanted to trade for him, so when the Wizards didn't, it was like, okay, they must have a plan here to keep him.
Right.
But now with the leadership change in the front office and at least reports that if the Wizards wanted to rebuild, they could, as long as the plan submitted was okay. Maybe Kuzma is more in play now. You think Kuzma is ahead of Jeremy Grant reputation-wise? He does have a championship.
Yeah,
he's done it in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, that's
it's kind of a toss-up,
it's
probably.
It's a bit of a toss-up. I mean, I think I would want Grant more. If I'm a good team, I don't know. I actually don't know.
That's a tough call,
actually.
I like Kuz.
I mean, 21-7, he had a good year. He didn't shoot the three ball all that well. That's sort of his thing. I think we always think of him as a really good three-point shooter, but he's sort of not.
Yeah,
he's
but...
He's like sort of below average, but...
Yeah, but I also feel like he is better getting his own three-pointers compared to Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
Which means then that Kuzma's taking a lot harder threes, which maybe hurts his efficiency. But I don't know. Maybe it's like 60-40 defense versus offense there.
Yeah.
Or offense versus defense.
Okay, number 7. You're speaking of defense. Couple defensive-minded guys at 7 and 6 here. Brook Lopez. Unrestricted. Yeah, exactly. And again, there's another Milwaukee Bucks player on this list later who has a player option in Middleton, but... Brook Lopez, could he be one of these names where we keep hearing, like, the Rockets want to get a veteran guy in? The Pistons probably want to get a veteran guy in or two, though they have, like, a million bigs, so maybe it doesn't work there. But some of these teams that want to, like, start winning some games, maybe get a little defensive identity, that I think of, like, oh, Brook Lopez could be a solution for some of these squads. To shore up the middle, obviously, he can stretch the floor. He's, like... has, you know, he's just a veteran, so he's going to help your locker room in terms of growing and stuff like that. Like, he's a Quirky guy. But well-liked.
Yeah, nobody dislikes his quirks.
No. Yeah. So, but anyway, Brook Lopez at 7 here.
That's a good one. That could be a serious piece that changes teams, because I think Brook Lopez is awesome. He had a great offensive season for the Bucks, and then his return this season put him back in the top five defensively after the 2022 season, when he didn't play all that much and the Bucks were kind of just middle of the pack. You saw the impact that Lopez has defensively. That's a given at this point. But the fact he was able to put the team on his back and be an offensive player when the Bucks were going through some injury problems, I thought that was a great season for Lopez. So I don't know if the Bucks want him to go away. But, I mean, he is getting older, but that's a big-time piece, I think.
Yeah, he's played nearly 1,000 games in the NBA, Brook Lopez.
Started young.
Probably has when you consider the playoffs, when you fold those in. But, he's been around since 08, 09. Holy crap. Looks great. You look great, Brook. At number 6, another defensive-minded guy, Draymond Green. Okay, he's got the $27.6 million player option. Will he decline that? Especially now with Bob Myers leaving, does that have any impact on Draymond's decision? And does he want to stick with Curry and Clay and that squad with Kerr and give it another go? Or does he want to go somewhere else? I mean, who knows?
All the reporting seems like the Warriors want him back and that Draymond wants to come back. Despite all the Last Dance talk kind of happening as the season went on, it definitely feels more and more likely that Draymond will be returning to the Warriors. I can see a team like Dallas or Portland being interested in what Draymond brings from an intensity standpoint, what he does for you defensively, and then, you know, just kind of the winner's mentality. I could see those teams talking themselves into it. I just think he's most valuable to Golden State, which is why he'll probably remain with Golden State.
Yeah, yeah. All right, into the top five here. I struggled trying to decide where to put this guy. I guess I elected to put him at number 5, Chris Middleton. Now, he has a giant $40.4 million player option so that he could opt out of and try and sign a new deal. But he is coming off, you know, arguably the worst season of his career, coming back from injury. He only played 33 games, and it looked like it. Like, he looked bad. Yeah. I mean, he just couldn't shoot. You know, they obviously flame out in the first round. Doesn't help his, you know, maybe his payday if he does opt out. So Middleton, I didn't know where to put him here. He is still, to me, such a good player. But can he bounce back from the injury? Is he too old? I mean, what's your take on Middleton here?
All right, so it'll be 32 at the start of next season.
Okay.
And he just shot 32% from three. Now, Chris Middleton hasn't had that bad of a shooting season since his rookie year.
Right.
So I would think he's going to be on the upswing next year, especially since that's what Chris Middleton does. When he's at his lowest, you know he's coming back the highest. But that's a big-time player option. What'd you say, $44
million? $40.4.
$40.4 million.
So he may
is
be
he signing a $40 million deal? Not likely, but he could sign a longer deal, lock it in for maybe a lower number. But I would be... If I'm the Bucks, I think I would want Middleton back, whether it be on the player option or extended a little bit here, just because I think he will be better next season, having fully returned from the hamstring injury that kept him out
in 22. And you're right. Maybe he doesn't even opt out of this and decides, no, let me put together another sort of all-star-like year, and then I'm maybe looking at, you know, one
best
more final
worlds,
big payday, which is a possibility. All right. At number 4, we got another Wizards player, Kristaps Porzingis. He has a $36 million player option. Like I said, there's a lot of guys here that can hit free agency if they want to. KP had a really good year. He stayed healthy. He put up big numbers. It didn't really translate into a bunch of wins for the Washington Wizards, but he is one of these unicorn type players.
Yeah,
he's a big guy that can obviously hit threes, but can take care of the rim, like Brook Lopez to some extent. He's pretty good at deterring shots in there because of his size. But what do you think about Porzingis?
Great contract here from Porzingis, playing 65 games, shooting 38% from three. He was a fringe all-star candidate. At least his name was worthy of discussion.
Yep.
But this one is one I'm a little bit more nervous about, despite the fact that Kristaps is 27 now. He'll be 28 at the start of next season, ostensibly in his prime.
Yeah.
But you just got to be worried about him staying on the court. So if you're going to sign him to a contract, maybe put a games played clause in it.
Yeah,
to save yourself some pain if things go poorly. Because I do still think Porzingis is an impact player when he's on the court. Sometimes it's a little bit, I'm getting my numbers, and it doesn't necessarily have the team impact. But he's a good rim defender. He can shoot from outside. You can see why the Mavericks wanted him next to Luka Doncic all those years ago. But if he's your number one guy, which it might be for the Wizards, it's not great. Yeah. But he's still a good player, I think.
Yeah, he played the most games in his career since he started with the Knicks. Yeah, as a rookie, and then the second year he played 66, but he played 65 for the Wizards, and that for him is a lot. And he put up 23 points per game and 8.5 boards, 3 assists, 1.5 blocks, like we said. Like, he can do that. So he's an interesting one. And, he gets paid $36 million, or he can next year. But because of these shortage of names, he'd be one of the bigger names as I'm going over here. I don't think it's a stretch for me to have him top 5.
No, definitely not.
When we get to
his age, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right. Because I actually flip-flopped between these two guys, Porzingis at 4, and then I put Fred VanVleet at 3. I originally had it KP 3, VanVleet 4, so maybe you'll disagree with me, but VanVleet has a $22.8 million player option, so he could decline and hit free agency, which a lot of people think he will. VanVleet.
He's good. I still think he's good. He was overtaxed. He's not a number one guy, right, and he was often thrust into the number one role for the Raptors. So I think if he's able to settle into like a primary ball handler, secondary or even tertiary scorer, that's nice. And like, look, what is Jalen Brunson making? $25 million, something like that. I think Fred VanVleet is worth something similar, though he's a little more advanced in age.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, he can play off ball. He can obviously orchestrate an offense. He plays hard defense, though we've seen him get absolutely lit up by very speedy guards. Yes, yeah. And he is small. But he has a lot of winning qualities, at least. Like, it's Brunson-like. We've said that before. We said that a long time ago, that Brunson was sort of like a VanVleet 2.0. But, yeah, getting up there in age, has he lost a little bit of a step? And would you want to give him a huge, huge, you know, like 4-year...
I would
massive
be more worried
contract?
About the years.
Right.
Just because, I mean, Fred VanVleet shot 39% from the field this year, 40% the year prior, 39% prior. He's 6'1".
Yeah.
Finishing inside is a problem for VanVleet. But if you're playing on a team like a Joel Embiid team, for instance,
I saw there's him been some of, rumors.
He's teasing a little bit like, hey, maybe me and Nick Nurse do get along, actually. If you don't necessarily need him scoring inside and he's able to just hit threes, I think he's probably a better shooter than 34% like last year. He's 37 for his career. Seems more in line.
And what about a team like the Orlando Magic, who have been like linked to him for a while? The idea of like, oh yeah, you bring in a floor general like him with all of their young talent on the wings, especially.
As long as he's not the number one guy. Yeah. I mean, he would have to be the third guy if he comes to Orlando setting up Paolo and setting up Franz, but I think he can be that kind of player.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, the top two names on the list. Kyrie Irving. Unrestricted free agent.
Let's go.
Here we go. I mean, now we're at the, like, we are at the all-NBA level for these top two names here. You can probably figure out who's number one. Kyrie, sticking with Dallas, like, lock it in after making the move for him, or not?
I don't think he can lock it in.
No, with Kyrie, you can't lock
it
in.
No, you can't lock it in. He was sitting courtside at all these Lakers games. Remember?
He likes basketball.
He just likes basketball. Anthony Edwards was there, too. Trae Young was there, too.
Yeah.
If you are a clutch client, you can go to the games. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
They ain't getting Ken Jeong tickets. He's got to buy his own. But
Clutch Ken?
Clutch Ken. I don't know. Maybe he is signed with him.
Oh, man. I don't know. Kyrie. I thought it was going to work when he got traded to the Mavericks. I was like, okay, they got scoring now. They need scoring. They're going to play the same way. They're going to play games that's 125 to 120. But now they got two great clutch players. It didn't happen like that at all, Skeets. No. They played 125 to 120 games and then blew it in the clutch time and time again, even after Kyrie showed up. So I guess if you're Dallas, you want to bring him back because you traded a whole bunch to get him. You don't want to trade your assets and then lose the guy you traded for as well. Doesn't look good to Luka Doncic either, trading for another all-star teammate and then he's gone, just like Porzingis is gone, just like everybody has been gone from the Mavericks. So I think they kind of got to try and bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows if it happens, because Kyrie could choose something else.
Yeah, he played 20 games for the Dallas Mavericks. Felt like it was 100, but he played 20.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Listen to Kyrie's numbers with Dallas. 27 points per game. His shooting splits were 51 from the floor, 39 from deep, 95 at the line. Throw in 5 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game. Like, he played really well. I think the splits when he was out there too with the Mavs, like, they were really good. When he sat, they were really bad. So it's not like he, like, was the reason they suddenly sort of fell apart and they couldn't close out these games. It was weird. But it's not like he shot like crap and, you know, was pouting. Like, he was also like...
He's productive.
He was... It was like really... He wasn't a distraction off the floor at all in Dallas for the final 20. I don't know if best behavior or what, but it's strange. Like, do you want to, like, are you convinced a Kyrie Luka, obviously mad money on those two guys, is your path forward if you're the Dallas Mavericks? I think they're going to try it.
They're going to. I think they're going to try it, too. Yeah. Just because the alternative is probably even scarier.
Maybe.
I mean, we saw a Luka and nobody else team for the first half of last season, and it was... It was no different than when Kyrie showed up, but at least they got another guy who can shoot a lot.
That's right. And number one on the top free agents this summer, he could be James Harden, $35.6 million player option. So he could hit free agency. If he declines, and there are a lot of reports that he will.
Yep.
Any thoughts on James Harden?
Has he been working out this summer? Is he cut again?
I don't know. I saw a clip of Ben Simmons. He's working out.
No way.
Looking cut.
Okay. Man, Harden. I don't know. We've heard less, I feel like, in the past week or so. We heard a lot of talk about him trying to get the max from Houston, him trying to get the max from Philadelphia. There was a Phoenix rumor floated a little bit, but it's gone a little quiet now. I mean, Harden did still lead the league in assists. He was still a 20-point-per-game scorer. He won a couple of games in the playoffs where he went for 45, but then he completely disappeared in the biggest moments, which has been the case with Harden for basically the entirety of his career. I even remember back to 2012. He had one good half in the 2012 finals. He had a 20-point half and like a 26-point game or something like that. So I don't know. The Sixers, I think, probably will bring him back just, again, because the alternative is not great. Like, you would rather have a flawed James Harden than no James Harden and no replacement, which I think is kind of the problem with a lot of these teams, where it's like you've invested so much getting the player and paying the player that the idea of the player leaving leaves you wanting a whole lot more because you've traded depth pieces alongside future pieces for a huge hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do when you're trying to win a championship. Just give up 20-10.
How much of the Nick Nurse Sixers press conference did you catch yesterday? Because he was asked about James Harden, and he skirted around answering that.
He's got a decision to make.
Yes. Yes. Like, he was not like, I'm pumped to have James Harden here, and like really trying to play that card. It almost, if anything, he was playing the opposite card. Like, felt like he knew he wasn't coming. That's how I was reading into it. But Nick Nurse was doing that throughout the entire press conference. He wasn't really answering a whole lot. And he was getting grilled by the Sixers media.
Yeah, he definitely
was. A little different
was.
Than the Raptors media, for definitely. Sure. But yeah, any thoughts on how Nurse handled the Philly press?
Well, I've never heard somebody say, I don't vibrate on the frequencies of the past.
What a line.
Before. But I'll be saying it a lot now. It's the new Jimmy Butler, I have no rearview mirrors in my van. I don't vibrate on the frequencies of the past. Nick Nurse is going to have his job cut out for him here, trying to get whatever team the Sixers bring back and dealing with the press from that. But, he's a creative guy, and I think that he's gotten a lot out of teams that aren't very talented, so he's happy to have a team that's talented but flawed to try and figure out what to do with them. James Harden could probably thrive in a Nick Nurse system alongside Joel Embiid. Obviously, they're one of the better teams in the league this year. It just ended so, so poorly.
It's so funny, like, if you caught any of the press conference or even the clips, like, usually these, hey, we have a new coach, we're showing them off to the media, like, they're celebratory.
Yeah.
This was not like that.
No.
It was like, hey, man, what are we doing? What's the answers? Like,
what are we running
really,
here?
Yeah, what are we running here because we're tired of losing in the second round?
Yeah.
So you better have the answers. What are they? And it's like, oh. Like, it was like.
It's like, hey, man.
Wow.
Season's not even over yet.
Yeah, the pressure is real there, and we'll see how Nurse handles it, and we'll see what James Harden does. A lot of these guys on that list, like I said, have the option to hit free agency. I think most of them will. Yeah, Middleton with that $40 million one off a season where he had 33 games and shot poorly. Maybe not. But tell us who we missed. A lot of other names out there. What about this guy? Hit us up in the comments for sure.
Spring has sprung, and spring is the best time of year to take a look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Reminds me of that scene in Rocky III when Apollo Creed is training Rocky to face Clubber Lang. Remember that? What does Apollo do? He puts Rocky in the pool. He makes them run on the beach. He makes them dance. Why? To strengthen muscles he never even knew he had. That's me on my Peloton. I'm not just riding it anymore. Sure, I'll jump on a 30-minute ride with the Cadence King, Dennis Morton, but now I'm lifting weights. I'm working on my core, and sometimes I'm doing all of the above in a boot camp. Point is, you can personalize your workout. Whether you add a 10-minute core session at the end of your metrics-focused class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. And there's a variety of classes like boxing, boot camps, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And hey, is this new? Work out while you watch with NBA League Pass on Peloton. That's pretty cool. Watch your favorite games and win your workouts with NBA League Pass on Peloton and visit onepeloton.com. Peloton All Access membership and NBA League Pass subscription required.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Adam Silver spoke before the finals, as he always does, giving an update on things around the league. Mm-hmm. He talked about what the All-Star game may be going forward, but definitely the biggest piece of news was Silver talking about what may potentially happen to Ja Morant, who is currently suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies for his most recent Instagram incident. This tweet is from Tim McMahon at ESPN McMahon, who just has a nice looking quote of it. So Adam Silver on Ja Morant, quote, "We have uncovered a fair amount of additional information. We probably could have brought it to a head now, but we've made the decision that it would be unfair to these players and these teams to announce that decision in the middle of the series." Had a lot more else to say, but basically he's saying we found more on Ja Morant. He is going to be suspended, but we're not doing it now because we talked with the players' union and nobody wants to do it now during the finals.
This is fascinating to come out and say this. Molly Morrison summed up my thoughts exactly with her own tweet. Adam Silver basically said, "I don't want to distract you from the NBA finals, so I won't give you any information about Ja's suspension right now. Instead, I will give you a cryptic and terrifying little hint that will distract you even more." Molly Morrison nailing it there. That's really what they've done here. They've made it sort of worse with the additional information part.
The additional information part is haunting a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, yes, certainly now we're talking about it. It will be the story for now. But the weekend is coming. There's a game on Sunday. And my guess is that by Sunday, after game two, this isn't a story until de-suspension is announced.
Oh, you don't think so? And you think Silver is, they're going to wait this out until the finals are over.
Yeah.
And then a day or two later, here's our suspension for him, which, like, we were kicking around like, okay, he did it twice now, made Silver look to be a fool. He probably gets 25, 30 games. But now there's this additional information and this, like, basically threat. Like, I'm not doing it now, but it's going to be bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it could be worse than that. Yep. I mean, this could be a, I don't know. Could be half a season, could be even more than that, I guess, is in play. Anything's in play now.
And didn't he say something along the lines of, like, yeah, we don't know what's going to change his behavior?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was thinking it would be in the 20 to 25 game region,
yep.
And my estimate likely goes up after
it doesn't go down.
Definitely doesn't go down.
No.
If it's bad enough that they're waiting until the finals is over, it's going to be a serious
decision. Right, right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, let's say it's just 20 games. And they just come out and say, he's been suspended quarter of the season. You know, here are the reasons why. He's taking the steps why. We hope he gets the help. Blah, 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 blah. I feel like we move on from that pretty quickly. And we can still focus on the finals. But I'm with you that this makes it sound like it's going to be quite extreme.
Yeah.
Either this new information, whatever this means that they've uncovered, or just the severity of the punishment. And it's like, whoa, he's suspended for a year? And then that's a huge, huge story,
totally,
obviously,
totally.
A face of the league and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll see. I guess we just wait until the finals are over. I mean, imagine you're a Grizzlies fan right now. Our season's like hanging in the balance.
Yeah, your next season. I saw people speculating that if the Celtics hadn't come back in their series, that we'd have got this news during the week in between.
Oh, wow.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But, we're getting an announcement, 48 hours after the finals is over.
Do you think Silver announces it while he's handing the Larry O'Brien trophy to either the Nuggets or the Heat? Yeah. Gives it, hands the trophy over to the owner of the team that wins, and then says, well, I have the mic, well, I have your attention here. I promised you a couple weeks ago to give you the Ja Morant suspension. Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's end this drop podcast with some rapid fire fun. Trey has the questions. We've got the answers, including yourself.
Yeah, buddy, I'd love to ask myself a question.
Yeah, man.
As Ramona Shelburne detailed for ESPN this week, when Nikola Jokic decided to get serious about his diet, he gave up soda, beer, and snacks while playing video games, but he was allowed orange juice and a couple of bites of his Serbian mother's home cooking.
Mm.
Only when she visited, though.
Oh.
Don't you be mailing me cookies, Mom. Fellas, what's something you'll always make an exception for, Skeets?
Well, it's interesting you say Jokic gave up soda, snacks, and beer. I will not be giving up a beer when I sit at a bar. If I ever sit at a bar, I feel like I have to order a drink. Even if I'm just going to eat.
Yeah.
And you're sitting at the rail. It just feels like, okay, pour me a beer.
That's what I'm here for.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, you're working there. You know? So I mean, I will always make an exception, even if I don't want the beer. Even if I shouldn't drink the beer.
Right.
I gotta have one beer.
I'm compelled. Well, why are you at the bar if you're not?
I like to sit at the bar.
I want to have a beer too. Exactly. Exactly right. Now, does it have to be a beer, or
be anything.
But it's not ordering a Pepsi or a Coke.
No, I can't just say I'm just having a water with my wings.
Mm.
It's gotta be a beer. I'm sitting here because you're right. It's just great to have a drink at the bar with the game on or talking to your bartender. Talking to whoever's beside you.
I love going to the bar with my wife. Like, if it's just the two of us, just sit at the bar. You're sitting next to each other without being weird about sitting next to each other.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
It's the best. We were just a couple weeks ago. For the Boston Marathon, I went with Jared and then Nora and then Jared's wife. So the four of us, and we did some bar hopping because we stuck around Boston a few days after the race.
Yeah.
We sat at the bar a lot.
All four of you.
Now, you might say four too many. But it worked.
Yeah.
And it's just livelier.
It's just two and two,
exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just is not as, like, you sit at a table, it's immediately a little more stuffy, no matter the type of place. It just becomes a little too formal.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Bar? There's no rules.
Yeah, stand up.
Damn right.
I'm going to stand between Beth and Jared for a little while.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Then you fold in conversation with bartenders, people beside you. So we did a lot of that, and it was great.
Love it.
Yeah.
JD, what are you making an exception for?
Yeah, peanut M&Ms, fat pills, in other words. I don't like to have them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They're a problem for me because I fucking love them.
They're so good.
Peanut M&Ms.
They're good.
The best M&M, easily.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close. God damn. When I go to a movie, and I don't go to the movies that often, but I gotta... Peanut M&M's in the popcorn. That's got to happen.
Oh, you mix it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Dump it right in, the whole thing.
Does it get melty? Like
No, it doesn't, actually.
Candy coating.
It's the candy coating, yeah, which is...
Candy coating?
But the popcorn with the peanut M&M's, so it's a little salty, but then it's a little more salty. Oh, my gosh.
And you don't know what you're grabbing, too, right?
It's a mix of salty and
salty. Are you looking?
I'm feeling.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at it now.
Good. Must be.
Yeah. Peanut and M&M's.
Good ones. Yeah. What about you?
55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies, 55 Cokes, 100 taters, 100 pizzas, 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees, 55 wings, 55 shakes, 55 pancakes, 55 pastas, 55 peppers, 155 taters, and a Jarritos.
Oh. One Jarritos.
Love a Jarritos. On yesterday's show, we saw an insane AI-generated commercial for the Shack Shaker Chameleon.
Yeah.
Besides the dialogue and the graphics, seemed pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
So what's something you would like to see Shaq pitch, Skeets?
Adult diapers.
Nice.
If this adult diaper could withstand a Shaq shit, then we got you covered.
That is a great point.
That's the pitch.
Wow. Oh, I just shack myself.
Exactly. There you go. And it's like
a diaper.
And then you have Shaq wearing them. It'd be like hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would go so far to say this. We'll see this in like give it another 10 years.
Not quite old enough yet.
He's not old enough yet. But yeah, give it.
Get him to the 60s.
Give it a decade or so. Yeah, and he'll be pitching us on adult diapers.
Great.
That's a great call.
And it sounds like JD needs one if you listen to The Great Beyond.
Yeah. Cool.
Spoiler. Yeah. Spoiler.
Spoiler. I spoiled my bathroom.
That's early. Yo. It's an early spoiler.
Yeah, for me, it's Sherlin's champagne. I'm still angry about it.
Are you? You haven't let it go? Isaiah Thomas never gave you a bottle?
Yeah, you all got bottles of Sherlin's champagne. Yeah. I was promised a bottle. So was Matty O. We never got ours.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like. An AI-generated Shaq commercial pitching Sherlin's. Isaiah Thomas makes an appearance.
Okay.
And I'm also in it. And it's like that I think you should leave sketch with the bald guy, and they're trying to keep it away from me.
What are you talking about?
Sex.
Okay. You should reach out to Zeke and see if you could get Sherlin Champagne to sponsor the Is This Good podcast.
Ooh. Okay.
Right?
He's going to say, of course, yes, no problem. I'll be in touch.
I'll be in touch.
sending you a case right now.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, good one. Good answer. What do you got?
Shaq has become a successful DJ, so I'd like to see him sell some DJ gear. Most importantly, like a soundboard that plays famous Shaq quotes.
Okay.
Basically just because I would love to be out dancing. You hear the DJ press the button, and instead of an air horn, it says, "Can you dig it?"
That's good. I like that.
I mean, I dig it! I love this song! Turn my headphones up!
All right. Great ideas for Shaq.
Taylor Swift fans are reporting post-concert amnesia because they don't remember being at shows from Taylor's Eras tour because they were so hyped up from being there that they forgot they were there.
Okay. Is this real?
This is really what they're saying.
Wow.
They're like getting so into the concert. They're like, wait, she played that song? She played Blank Space? She played Blank Space.
So it ends and they're like, they can't remember a thing. Wow. Yeah. I'm just having the time of my life. Wow. All right.
What's a dubious diagnosis that you suffer from, Skeets?
Well, sort of goes hand in hand to the street racing talk from yesterday's pod, 2 Feet Too Furious. I suffer from walking fast syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I walk fast. I always have. Hopefully always will. And it's not by accident, but I don't do it on purpose. I just have an energetic gait to me.
You got an energetic gait.
And so, you know, it pisses people off. My wife, definitely at times before, like, can you slow down? Like, like either walking the dog together or walking anywhere, you know. But it's real. I know there are people out there just like me.
So you're not going for strolls, ever. You would never stroll.
Not really.
Yeah.
Never stroll.
I mean, I walk the dog all the time, but I guess I'm not
an energetic dog.
It's a border collie.
Exactly, exactly.
And even Luna's saying, hey, man, could you slow down?
Well, that's funny you say that. You know, these hot days here in Atlanta, maybe it's her second walk of the day. She starts dragging.
Yeah, buddy.
I've left her behind.
I'll pick you up.
Yeah, I'll go get the car.
I don't mean to call your credentials into question here, but are you counting every time you walk as a street race?
No.
That's why you gotta finish first.
No. I'm just saying they go hand in hand, right? They go foot in foot.
Yeah, they go foot in foot. Great stuff.
Yeah.
JD, what's a fake medical condition you have?
Mine's an amnesia as well, and it's whenever I ingest anything, like asparagus, I forget, and then I smell it and I go, what the hell is happening? You know, or beets, same thing, even more alarming.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You forget what you have eaten.
Yeah. Or even like occasionally I've been experimenting with like CBD and weed to try to get rid of my headaches kind of thing. And then I'll forget that I ingested some. And then I'm like, I'm having this is it. This is my aneurysm. And this is it's finally over. This is how I leave this mortal coil, and then I go, oh yeah, right. I had that edible about 30 minutes ago. So
I guess it's getting rid of your headache.
Yeah, at least the headache.
Because you're thinking about
chilling
dying.
Me out and then freaking me out immediately. Yep. So it's not working, so I gotta figure something else out. Okay. Maybe yoga or something. I don't know.
Do you drink enough water?
I try to, yeah. Okay. I piss a lot.
Hmm. Okay.
So
that's good.
That's good.
Championship hydration.
That's right.
It's light enough. I got pool drainophobia.
Pool drainophobia.
I am terrified to touch a pool drain. Like at the bottom of a pool. My mom told me when I was young, like, you know, probably a fake story about like a kid getting their finger caught in the pool drain and drowning, or their hair getting
stuck.
Caught. So I'm like, I love to go down and touch the bottom of a pool. It's like probably my second favorite activity at a pool.
First one being a cannonball.
Yeah, so like, just like you and walking fast, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You do a sea ball, you go down to the bottom and touch it, but I will not touch those tiny little grates, man. I don't think my fingers are going to get stuck.
Wow.
But I don't want them to.
What about stand on them?
No way.
Wow.
Even worse. Oh, wow. These tiny toes.
She instilled that in
I know, man.
Sure.
That's
these tiny toes.
All go in there.
All right. Afraid of the pool. What'd you call it? Filter, I guess.
Pool drainophobia.
Pool
drain. It's bad.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the filter at first.
That's what I thought too. But
like finding a dead animal in there, which happens a lot.
Yeah. Sure.
Ooh,
sure.
Yeah. That wouldn't be great. Fish that out. No, thank you.
That thing is gross, though. Yeah, just the filter is disgusting.
I mean, it's nice to know
general.
It's working.
Yeah.
That's true.
Good place to find some
filtering
hair.
Filtering out all the dead animals.
Yeah. I'm going to a pool party this weekend, just a humble brag. But this is a neighbor's pool party, okay? They installed a pool, I guess, last summer. And this is probably like the first, like, hey, we're inviting everybody over to check it out. I'm pumped. I do the whole, hey, what can I bring? Food or drinks? No, nothing. Okay, you get that a lot. We got the food truck coming at like 5 o'clock. We got the fire performers coming late. Like, what type of party are we going?
This is a real party.
This is not a get together barbecue pool shindig for the neighbors. I was like, what? Yeah, apparently there's going to be like a fire performance. I don't know why I keep doing this. Like fire
That's
performance.
What, that, those are fiery spinning fingers.
Yeah. And food truck. I'm like, holy, all right, let's go. So I'll be reporting back either on playback on Sunday night. I don't know if I'm going to be there. If this party's, it's on Sunday. If this party's a banger, guys, I might have to pull out of the playback for game two. Or we'll be talking about it on Monday's podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern here from the Classic Factory. But yeah, join us on playback. The link is in the show notes. Sunday night, game two, 8 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully we can get tasked to check in again at least at halftime. We'll try and do another Sporkle quiz or two. We had a blast doing that. Just had a lot of fun sort of as the second screen experience, taking in the game, commenting on it, and talking to the chat there as well. So join us then. And if you don't, we'll see you here on Monday morning. Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us live, everybody, on YouTube. Hit that like button and subscribe. Make sure you check out Tass and Jerome killing it from the finals in Denver across all our social media channels at No Dunks Inc. Until Sunday night or Monday morning, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you have an energetic gait, get an energetic dog.
Hmm.
Facts. Brace the weekend, people.